Welcome to Episode Party, a podcast about some of our most favourite podcasts. I'm Freddie Harrison.
I'm Jack Tutor.
And this episode, we are joined by radio producer and host of the really excellent Welcome to Macintosh podcast, Mark Bramhill. Hey, Mark.
Howdy. Good to be here.
So we've all bought a podcast that we've recommended and recommended a specific episode that we should all listen to. And hopefully everyone's done their homework. And I think this time it's Jack kicking us off. So, Jack, tell us a little bit about your choice.
Sure. So my choice this time is Everyone Else, which is a podcast that I have no idea how I came into it. I think this was one of those binges of going through the Discover on Pocket Casts and just picking stuff up, which I do every week and has now left me with more podcasts than I can listen to. It's a crisis that I'll keep you updated on. But this podcast is a photographic podcast telling the experiences, secrets, loves, fears and lessons learned of strangers. And it's a podcast by London-based producer Eva Krysiak, who has worked at the BBC and The Guardian. And I think it's interesting it calls itself a photographic podcast, because I think one aspect of it is that on the website there's photographs of everyone who is interviewed, but also the podcast itself is essentially a series of audio portraits. So every episode has a particular subject, which is a person. They tell a story, presumably something that was recorded through an interview, although you never hear the interviewer. And it's basically the stories, as it suggests, of strangers just telling a particular facet of their life, basically. And I love the idea of the show, the sense that everyone is carrying around a story that you know nothing about, and that everyone is essentially an expert on their own life. And that in itself can be fascinating if that person is just left to talk and curate that story effectively. And what I love particularly about the podcast is just the way that it's allowed to just happen. There's no kind of preamble, like, this is this person, they do this, they're from this place. And also there's like no outro or anything. The story just drifts off and suddenly you're out of the podcast before you know it. It's quite a strange experience, considering that most podcasts, you know, have like 3 minutes at the end to close everything down. It's really beautifully produced. The music is like really subtle. I was listening to one earlier today, actually, about this teenager talking about her experiences of first love and the relationship she has with this boy. And as the relationship reaches a new stage, the music like subtly changes. But it's all this abstract electronics that kind of just tilts to a different place, and it's not imposing an atmosphere on it and like stamping it firmly on top. It's just gently pressing in at the edges. The one I asked you guys to listen to, I believe, oh man, which one did I ask you to listen to? Was it called Penguins and Turtles?
Yes.
That's correct.
Thank goodness for that, so my notes still stand. So I picked one on an 11-year-old boy who talks about the therapeutic powers of singing and art, and how it's helped him cope with his experiences of bullying and sadness and melancholy, and how it helps him to help other people. And again, I just love the fact that people are just left to talk, and that there's no, especially when it's 11-year-old boy, there's something about not having an interviewer. He's not patronized. He's not, the questions aren't watered down for the sake of a child. He's given a platform, and the very same platform that's granted to people who are, you know, in their 80s or whatever age and whatever state of expertise. So I'm a fan. I think I've made that quite clear. Freddie, what did you make of this?
I really, really enjoyed it. I'll start at the beginning, because that's a good place to start. But I was listening to this quite late at night, and it was quite dark in my flat, and I had it on a little Bluetooth speaker that was kind of like over the other side of the room. And the intro with kind of like the whispered kind of title kind of freaked me out a little bit, like a little bit too much. but once I kind of got over that, and it was just a really nice little kind of like, you know, like a little vignette of someone's someone's life. And what was kind of weird just now is that I went on the website and I didn't know about the portraits of people on there, the kind of photos. And actually, in a way, I wish I didn't, because then I started scrolling through and looking at those pictures and like aligning them with the episodes I've listened to. And a lot of them are not how I imagine those people to look. And I guess that's always the way. It's like, you know, when you go and see Harry Potter at the cinema for the first time when the films came out, and like suddenly all those characters that were described to you are kind of put in front of you as a real person. You have to kind of adjust your kind of sense of reality. But the podcast itself is like a really beautiful thing. And I it feels like it could be something that's played between adverts on TV. That's just like kind of that beautiful cultural moment that every now and then TV seems to spit out. You know, it's a rare thing, but it sometimes happens. And I just enjoyed the kind of the way that these people spoke about themselves. And I think, you know, there was clearly an interviewer somewhere behind all that, but it's been like expertly cut out and spliced together, because I know that I listened to another episode. I can't remember the name of it, but it was the one about the stripper who works in London. And she at some point kind of elaborated on points in the way that would suggest someone on the other end was going, and tell us a bit more about that. But that's all been cut out perfectly, to the point where it just feels like this nice little monologue. And I haven't listened to any of the longer ones yet. I have to admit, like when I was like searching through, I was trying to find the short ones, because I actually really enjoy it. I've been listening to lots of long, talky podcasts lately. So actually, I really enjoy it as like just 8 minutes of something talking at me about something that isn't technology, basically, is my time. No, thanks, Mark. I've really enjoyed Welcome to Macintosh. But it was just Apple, you know, it's just that's all I've listened to for the last week. So,
well, at least when I do my podcast, they are short.
It's very true. Yeah. I mean, once you've got through the like the talk show or ATP or something, these feel like nothing at all. But no, I really liked everyone else. And I'm kind of like, I just like cherry picking little stories and listening to them. And eventually, I suppose I'll work my way up to some of the longer ones. But I might just have to skip the intro every time to stop it from creeping me out a little bit. But it was really good. Mark, what did you think?
Yeah, it's funny that you mention the feeling that it could be sort of like interstitial content between like stuff on television. Mm-hmm. One of the things that it reminded me of is there's a radio station that I did some work at when I was first learning how to do radio, but they in WCAI in Cape Cod in the US, they have these things called sonic IDs,
right?
Where in between content on the radio, you have to, every certain amount of time, you have to say you're listening to such and such station and the time and blah blah blah, and that's like a requirement. But what they've done is in those segments put 30-second to 1 minute, not exactly stories, but just little moments of local life where it's just like there's something weird or funny or sometimes sad about it. And it's something where sort of just like the fact that it kind of happens and then it's just over and you kind of have, you have very little lead in or lead out. It's just, it's there and then it's gone. And it was something where I definitely am reminded of that. The sort of, what you called photographic, or I've heard referred to as like an audio postcard or things like that, where it's just like, just like this little, this snapshot of life where, unlike most public radio or narrated shows, there's this strong leaning, myself included, to be much more didactic in how you produce in terms of, oh, there shouldn't be any confusion. There should be plenty of context. And this, in a lovely way, just totally throws all that out the window in terms of, I had no idea as we start listening. It's just like, what is this kid talking about? Who is he? What is, like, in a way that's like disorienting, but I don't know that having the actual context of it would have made me like it more. I feel like that actually, like, just hearing sort of a stream of consciousness from this kid is super charming, and also he is just super adorable. So that's a that is it's just unendingly sweet to hear him. But yeah, it was very interesting to hear something that's clearly takes a lot of production and time, but really doesn't try and hold your hand going through everything, and kind of just throws you out into this sort of experience in a way that most podcasts and radio is kind of afraid of. So I thought that was, certainly that's commendable. And it was very, like, it, I thought it's something that's interesting in a way that I thought was successful. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really interesting.
Awesome.
What you've highlighted there as well is there's a really nice contradiction to this podcast, I think, which is that that lack of introduction and that lack of packaging and context creates a certain anonymity around the subjects. But at the same time, as you say, because it's not this thing where you're led into the experience in a very deliberate way, there's a real intimacy, I think, with the audience in saying, I have the faith that you're going to be okay with this, that you're just going to figure this out as you're going along, and that you're not going to go, oh, screw this, who's this kid? You know, I'm off. You know, because there is just these people aren't made out to be anyone at all. And that's what I love about the show. And, you know, it's all wrapped up in the title as well, being everyone else. It's just, it's the people that you don't know and their own narratives and their ability to curate them. So, yeah, I think it's spot on. I like it more when I hear people talking about it as well, including myself and my own voice. So. Bonus.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think that there is that kind of like weird, and you kind of mentioned a contradiction there. But I think there's another one, which is like that it's so intimate that it's comforting in a way, but also like that lack of context is almost a little bit jarring, because it's very rare that you have someone talking directly to you with little or no introduction at all. So it takes you a second to kind of attune to them and kind of feel okay with the fact someone's just talking at you about themselves so kind of intimately. But then once you kind of get past that point, it's just really nice to listen to, and it's interesting to hear people's stories in a way that's, you know, they're grounded in reality, of course, but you know, you don't feel attached to them, which is quite nice in a way. Well, at least that's how I feel. I'm big fan, Jack. Nice work.
No, I really enjoyed it.
Right, well, we shall move on to our next podcast. Mark, you have brought a podcast to the table. I'd love to hear you talk about this one. I'm really looking forward to chatting about this.
Yeah, so the podcast that I am recommending is called Heavyweight, and it is the latest project from producer Jonathan Goldstein, who is just one of my all-time favorite radio producers. If I can, I'll talk a little bit about some of his work previously, just kind of leading into this, if that's okay.
Please do.
Yeah.
So he started in radio with This American Life back in the 90s, I think, when it was still an early show, after working as a telemarketer for like a decade.
No
so
way.
Really jumping up there. Yeah. And one of the stories that he made for This American Life, it was something that I first heard, this aired in 2001, but it was something that I first heard as I was already starting to go into radio, that I knew that it was what I wanted to do. But it was a story that when I heard it, it made me feel like, oh, this is the kind of thing I want to make. This is what I wish I could do. And that story is commonly referred to as The Little Mermaid, where it is about the so-called greatest voicemail of all time. And it's so hard to describe the story because, like, if you just describe the series of events, it's really boring. Like, it's not there's low stakes. There's not that much happening. It's Jonathan and his friend. His friend tells him about this voicemail. Jonathan is skeptical. He tries to track it down. He eventually tracks it down, and he's impressed. Like, that's like the series of events.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, it is so boring when you just say it like that. But the thing is, what makes his stories so good is he has this is operating in this totally different realm from stories that are supposed to, like, that are you need to have high stakes and there needs to be a lot on the table and it needs to be dramatic and important. And it's like his stuff is fueled by characters and shenanigans and just lovely sardonic writing that is just so good. So that's the sort of thing where it's like, oh, this is just so playful and fun and at the same time capable of making you think and even bringing you like to tears at times with his work, where it's like the ability to do all of that with things that are kind of irreverent is just something which I've always been so in awe of. So that's a second recommendation there is I would check out that one of his most famous early stories. If you search This American Life, The Little Mermaid, it should come up. I believe the actual name of the story is called Buddy Picture, but that is a phenomenal story. Anyway, moving on a little bit, he has made other things, Wiretap with the CBC, and that's also really good. But this latest project, each episode follows him essentially helping a friend or someone he knows go back in time, essentially, to a moment that they regret, something that has been bothering them, or and then helping them work through this issue, even though he is not at all qualified to be like a therapist or whatever. It's something where it's working through issues from the past in a way that's varies from being small and unimportant to like actually really huge things that are really meaningful. So, you know, it's like I was saying before, it manages to be irreverent, hilarious, but also really moving. So the episode that I recommended is called Gregor. It's the second episode of the show. And it follows a good friend of Jonathan's who back in the 90s lent a box set of CDs to a friend who was a struggling electronic musician who then sampled those CDs and became super famous for his album then and made tons of money, and that friend happens to be Moby. and then he never got those CDs back. And the whole thing follows the idea of, I want my CDs that I lent him 27 years ago. I want those CDs back. And it's just, the premise of this is just so absurd, and ultimately where it leads is so much more like moving and touching than the actual premise of this has any right to be, you know?
Right.
It's something where, like, it starts off in this place where it's just antics between Jonathan and his friend Gregor, but it slowly builds up into this thing where Gregor becomes a little bit more sympathetic than just a little bit of a belligerent asshole, you know? He kind of becomes like, oh, I get why we like him, and he's funny, but it's just one of those things where it's like, man, why can't he let go of this?
Right.
But you slowly kind of understand it better, and ultimately then Moby, when you hear from Moby, then he is just so kind and gives such good, like, has such nice things to say and good advice, where it's just like, wow, like this this is not where I thought this would end up from like the first 5 minutes of this show. It's just one of those things where the fact that it can leave you feeling like emotional but at the same time then be just totally hilarious is like just such an accomplishment.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some of what you guys thought on this.
It's funny because I listened to a few Gimlet shows and I've heard this one kind of promoted a lot across the kind of network, as it were. And I've just not even given it a thought until this recommendation came up in the Google Doc. And probably about 5 to 10 minutes in, I was just kind of kicking myself for not having listened to it earlier. You've done such a good job of kind of describing it, Mark, that I don't want to kind of go over that detail. But the key thing that I think you said was that it's that thing where it just makes you feel a lot of different emotions, and there's some beautiful bits where you kind of, you just feel for these people, and you know, you feel sad for them, you feel happy for them, but you're also just kind of laughing. And I think the thing that really gets me is his kind of little asides that he does, and they're just so funny. And I guess when I first listened to it, I was like, okay, the reveal of the fact that Gregor's friend is actually Moby is so brilliantly done. And I was like, wow, okay, there's a lot of episodes here. How has he kept this up for every episode? And then I kind of cycled all the way back to the very first episode, which is about his dad, right, and his uncle. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know how he's going to achieve the same effect, because I don't know his dad or his uncle, but I do know Moby. And that's what makes that, to me, I thought yeah. That's what made it interesting. And then the more I listened to that first episode, the more I realized that the thing that is making me so enamored with this podcast is Jonathan and not the subjects. I think the subjects are important, but I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about his This American Life episode, where, you know, you were saying that it's hard to describe because it's something that's actually maybe a little bit boring when you say it out loud, but it was made interesting by him. And I think that's what all these stories are. If you were to summarize that first episode in a sentence, you'd say Jonathan takes his dad to see his uncle. They don't really get on, but by the end of the episode, they do. And like, that doesn't sound interesting at all, but you go on this journey and it's just so, so good. And Greg is exactly the same. And then there's that kind of gem at the end where they kind of sat in on a recording of RuPaul's podcast.
Oh my God, yes.
I love that bit.
But
oh my God.
When Moby says interesting things like, my mom was born in San Diego.
What?
Like that. Just that.
It just instantly put everyone else's podcast to shame, but I still loved it.
That is the fact that that whole segment is even worked in at the end, like that could have been cut, like they didn't need to include the part where they go right to that, like it's kind of nice to know, oh, they were invited and they did this thing, but like you don't actually have to hear any of RuPaul's podcast,
yeah,
but it's just like, this is just so bizarre that like you need to include this as just a, and it's in the whole section where it's like getting to the more profound emotional point, and it's just like, hold on, but we need to take a detour for this hilarious kind of irrelevant thing.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
So, so good. I loved it. Jack, what did you think?
Oh, Christ. That RuPaul bit just... Oh, I listened to this podcast ages ago, and this episode, probably when it came out, and I'd forgotten all about that RuPaul bit. And the bit where he screeches when she says San Diego, I was running to this podcast, just beaming through the streets of Cheltenham listening to that bit, because, oh, it's dynamite. And also, what I think is so great about it is that you've got Gregor and Jonathan, who have this really dry, very kind of slow means of talking and also of delivering jokes. And the juxtaposition of RuPaul makes you realise how far on the end of that very dry, sarcastic humour you are, because you're like, oh, that's the other extreme. So I really like Jonathan Goldstein, and there was a period in my life, maybe a couple of years ago, where I listened to American Life all the time. I used to finish work on a Monday at like 7 p.m. and I'd grab a pack of hula hoops and a can of cola, and I'd have an hour and a half drive home, and I'd crack on the new This American Life. And with This American Life, when you listen to it consistently, there are stories that come up by people that you really, really get into, and as soon as you know that they're involved, you're like, this is going to be an awesome 15 minutes. And Jonathan was probably the first person to emerge that I felt like that about. He did one called The Big Night, which when you recommended Heavyweight, I had to go and dig out again, because it was really, really funny. It was basically Jonathan revisiting this home video of
Yes.
It's basically Jewish New Year, and it's called Rosh Hashanah. And
Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's and basically, it's Jonathan commenting on this video as it's playing. Apparently, he used to play it to all of his girlfriends, and he used to stop it at various points and explain certain things. But there's one moment in that where I think it's his mum and his auntie. One of them just starts singing White Christmas, and then the other one starts, but they're out of sync. And Jonathan says something like, it's almost as though they're on different planets and just so happen to have the same thought at the same time. And when you hear the audio, like, honestly, it makes me cry. It's unbelievable. But so when I saw that Heavyweight had come out, I was like, right, I'm getting on this. And I was a bit... I was cautious because I wanted it to be just pure Jonathan Goldstein. I had faith that it would be because I have faith in Gimlet to understand what makes him so great. And also I think they'd effectively allowed Starly Kine to do a similar thing with Mystery Show, which is I have faith in the person. Even with mundane events, they know how to deliver it in a way which is really interesting and can basically carry anything just purely from their way of seeing the world. And that's exactly what happens here. You know, Jonathan has that incredible knack for extracting comical observation out of otherwise inane and everyday facets of human behavior, and also inane snippets of audio. Like, there's a moment during this Gregor episode where he yawns at the start of saying a question, and he weaves that into a joke, just because I think he just has this, you know, this ear for it, which I don't think a lot of radio producers do. There's also that wonderful moment where they go and bring Moby some lemonade as they're going round, and Moby takes the lemonade and puts it in the fridge, and they never see it again. And they pitch it as this, like, Moby's this serial thief who just hoards stuff away from Greta and never gives it back.
I miss a bit at the end where they're chatting about that, and Greg is so annoyed by it. And I sort of get it. But, like, at the same time, I was like, this is so ridiculous.
It's just like, and the bit, there's tiny, tiny jokes as well, which I love. Like, where he's pondering over the pronunciation of... interlocutor or interlocutor. Yeah. I can't. And it's just a really, really tiny joke that I just thought about for, like, you know, 10-15 seconds afterwards, and I was like, that's a clever little thing. There's another really good one about there's a friend of his whose dad's dying wish was to have his ashes scattered on the 18th hole of a golf course. And the whole thing's framed as this low-budget heist that everyone's taking too seriously. And Jonathan, you know, uses all this language that's all a bit gangster and a bit, you know, like it's a shady operation. Again, it's just brilliant. And it knows that it's basically fixating on these quite inane narrative things. It weaves that into the story, and there's a lot of moments where it goes, this really isn't such a big deal. But at the same time, it turns them into profound things. I'm so glad that you brought this up to talk about, because I enjoy it and then I move on to something else. And I forget to just stop and appreciate just what an awesome job he's done with this podcast.
Yeah, no, in terms of, like, when I was re-listening to it, I just was, like, kind of writing down some of the, like, the little jokes that I was laughing at. And I couldn't write all of them down because there were just too many that I was, like, too much. But, no, I just, like, such little details in how it's written. Like, Jonathan is definitely, when I listen to radio producers, he's the person who I most wish I could write like, but I just could never pull any of it off.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have the same sort of, my style of delivery is not, I can't do the same sort of deadpan jokes and pull them off.
Right.
It would sound so, not unnatural, but just, it would just not land at all, where it's, he's both able to write and flawlessly deliver these amazing little observations and jokes, where it's definitely one of my favorite radio producers. So
yeah,
yes,
he's got this delivery which almost it is so dry. It reminds me of in The Simpsons when, like, Reverend Lovejoy's doing a really boring sermon and they're trying to make it seem really boring by that monotone drawl, but it's just perfect when it's woven in with his jokes. It's spot on.
Yes, big fan. we're on to the third and final recommendation of the episode, which is mine. And this is a relatively new podcast to me. It's a relatively new podcast in general, but it's one that I picked up on straight away because I liked the idea of it. And it was nice to know that the kind of reality, which I kind of had a good inkling that it would do, but it was nice to know that the reality matched up with the idea. And this podcast is Rough Translation. It's an NPR podcast, and the idea behind it is to kind of look at the kind of issues that are being talked about from the perspective of somewhere else in the world. And sometimes that's just the case of seeing the issue from the other person's side, if it's an international issue, it's just seeing it from the side of the other country. And sometimes it's taking an issue that you think is very specific to one place and then literally dropping it in the same place and finding out that it's in a different country that this issue is exactly as prevalent. And sometimes it's about kind of flipping an issue on its head and seeing it kind of almost the opposite way around. But the idea is that we're kind of like, going away from kind of very Western kind of centric, I guess, subjects, I guess. And, finding a new angle of looking at these things, which I don't know, I made that sound really boring, but it's really, really interesting. And the episode that I particularly love, and it was the one that I recommended, and I actually held off on making my recommendation because I'd started listening to this and I didn't get all the way through it in one go because I was just like listening to it in the morning before I went to work, and I wanted to finish it so that everyone I could be 100% certain that this was the one I wanted to recommend, and I'm so glad I did. This episode's called American Surrogate, and it's about people who are surrogates and have children for other people, and the common rhetoric is that someone who is rich and American may pay someone who is in another country to have their child. And this looks at it from the other way around, which is that it's actually a big thing where people who are rich Chinese women, for example, will have American women have their baby. And it follows the story of that exact situation. And I don't want to give away the whole story because I think it's a great listen. But I think the way that they delve so deeply into this one is really nice. And I think it's one that it sticks out for me compared to the others in that I think that it's a lot more personal and a lot more kind of one-to-one than perhaps some of the other episodes. And that's not to say that none of the other episodes are as good. They're great. But I loved this one because it took an issue that was deeply personal. Like, what can be more personal than having someone's child? And it delved into it at a level which I think is just was really captivating. And I was so frustrated when I was getting ready for work and I had to leave the house and leave my kind of the podcast. It wasn't on a cliffhanger, luckily, but it was kind of like, halfway through. And I was just like, I really want to listen to the rest of it and understand the rest of this story. And when I did, and the payoff, and again, this is why I don't want to kind of give loads and loads away, but the payoff is beautiful. It's a really great ending. Maybe that gives away too much already, who knows. But what can I do? I can't work my way around this.
You've done well there, I think.
I've spoiled three episodes. Jack, take over from me, please, before I give too much away. Tell me what you thought of it.
Yeah, let me spoil it. So, do you know what, Freds? When you recommended this one, I don't know how I felt, really. I wasn't thrilled because I'd listened to adverts for Rough Translation. And I think it's a difficult show, I think, to describe. And I think they say something like, it's how are the things we're talking about being talked about somewhere else in the world? Quite a mouthful. And it just felt, I think, in the way they described it, I just had this impression of quite a tenuous premise. And then when I actually listened to the show, it clicked quite quickly as to what the thrust was and why it was something that was worth talking about. And this one was intense. I wasn't really ready for that. Again, I ran to this podcast and my face was very much the other way for a lot of this compared to listening to Heavyweight. But it's had me so hooked the whole way through. I think the idea of surrogacy is such a wonderful topic and almost, it's not a metaphor, but basically it allows the premise of the show to be explored so well because this baby is effectively straddling that barrier between two cultures and two different attitudes towards surrogacy, and it's through that baby that you watch these cultural frictions emerge. And I think just the intimacy of hearing two strangers become friends through this process as well was the most incredibly warming thing. And I mean, you've already said it, Fred. It had a lovely ending. So I'm going to just pull back the curtain a bit more on the nature of the ending, but it was lovely. The other one that I listened to, which actually really appealed to me, and I think, in fact, Mark, it kind of made me think back to your recent emoji series, was there was one on yoga.
Yes.
And it centered on International Yoga Day, which is, from my perspective, at least up until listening to this episode, a joyous day of exercise where loads of people around the world get together and do a big stretch and do yoga. And I do yoga and I love yoga. And I've always been aware of this ambiguous relationship, I guess, between yoga and Hinduism. And it's something that kind of seeps into, I think, a lot of the YouTube videos that I do, where, you know, suddenly they're getting very spiritual in their talk as we're doing stretches. You know, I'm just doing a runner's lunge and suddenly I'm supposed to be having a spiritual experience as well. And I think that's when you become aware of that conflict. But basically the podcast explores this idea of being yoga being intrinsically linked to Hinduism, and the issues that poses when yoga is encouraged to be done on a wider scale, particularly in India, where there is a certain subtext in the eyes of some of the marginalization of Islam effectively through yoga becoming mandatory at schools. And so it really gets into this debate as to whether yoga is linked into spirituality into religion or not. And if you say that it's not and it's okay for that practice to then be done in more places, well, are those spiritual aspects of it kind of quietly and almost subliminally imposing certain ideas of a religious belief anyway? And I thought they did a really good job of digging into that story. That was really fascinating for me. So yeah, I was really impressed with this podcast. I feel like I still have periods of like NPR fatigue, where I think their style is so consistent, and that's great. They have a signature, which I think is very dependable. But after a while, I have to stop listening to NPR podcasts, because that style that they have and that sort of like mixture of professionalism and formality and their humor as well is quite consistently them wears on me a bit. But this as a show, yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised. So yeah, nice job.
Awesome. Mark, what do you think?
So a tiny bit of background. So last summer, summer of 2016, I was actually interning with NPR's Planet Money.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
In the New York Bureau, which is very small. And that's where Rough Translation wound up being produced.
Right.
While I was there as an intern pretty early on, there was the announcement at a meeting of, hey, Gregory Warner is coming here. He's going to be starting a new podcast and essentially working with the team. So I had been hearing a bunch about what was going to be going on into that while that was being planned. And a lot of the people who I was working with are the ones who then worked on this show.
Ah.
So including Jess Jang, who was my boss.
Oh, which is awesome. Then,
yeah. So then she is a phenomenal producer, and it makes me very happy to hear her as now the producer of Rough Translation and really getting to shine. And in the episode that you recommended, American Surrogate, then she honestly like is able to turn this, helps it really become the emotionally impactful story that it is.
Right.
And it really, so I just, as a like, I am extremely impressed with the production of it and how well executed it is, and it makes me very happy to hear people I know working on such a great project. So had to throw that out there.
Sure.
But yeah, I actually had been kind of putting off listening to the show, just in terms of, it's one of those things when you've heard a lot about the production of something or been knew that it was coming, it's just kind of, I find it harder to like, okay, I feel like I need to take a more critical, attentive ear. I don't want to just listen to this right now. I'll wait for it. But when you recommended it, I listened to this episode and then promptly listened to all the other episodes that were available. And it is so, so wonderfully done. And I was just so impressed, where certainly there is a certain amount of the NPR sound, but I think this is a way of covering foreign issues in a way that is so much more personal and engaging than what NPR and many other news sources tend to do. Like, this is just so much easier to have a connection with and understand and feel, find, like, truly important than many more clinical news stories tend to be. And I just am so wildly impressed by how this show has turned out. Because I don't really listen to anything about, like, where it's, like, foreign correspondent reporting. Like, that's just not something that is in the genre of, like, it feels like eating your vegetables, you know? Like, that doesn't feel like, that's not going to be the fun break you want.
Sure.
But this manages to be, like, still have all that important information and things that is good for you to be informed of and aware of, but is actually, like, emotional and fun and just really fascinating to learn, where it's, like, it's a way of just, like, making this so appealing. And that, I think, is a serious achievement. And just, it's so beautifully produced. Just, like, this is a great sounding and a great sounding podcast. It's super well paced and thought out. And just everything about it, I am a fan of. So I give it a solid thumbs up.
I think that's very high praise. I think a solid thumbs up is what we aim for on Episode Party.
I wanted to ask about on NPR. What were you doing? What did you do when you interned? What did they have you do?
I mean, it was a lot of the basic work that you might expect of an intern. Logging tape from interviews. So from an interview, then just. Making transcripts to make it easier to go and edit those into stories, mixing promos and selecting music beds and things like that, researching guests and people who might be a good fit for, I need this type of person for a story. Can you try and look for that? I've been having trouble, sort of thing. But then also getting to be a part of the pitch meetings where story ideas are suggested and suggest your own, and the edits where it's a big group edit. They do a live read through of their script while playing the cuts of tape. And then everyone kind of takes notes. And then every single person, including the intern, gets to give feedback and can voice their feelings on what is or isn't working, where there needs to be work, where you were confused. And all of those things were super helpful learning experiences. So I loved all of that. Yeah.
That's so
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, and I have to say then, if anyone does listen to Planet Money and then listens to my emoji series, you might notice the sort of resemblance in terms of at least what I tried to learn from them from the oil series that they were working on while I was there. And that was like, oh, you could use this larger framework to tell lots of little stories within that, within a topic that has lots of complexities and nuance. You can tell kind of the boring stories within them by attaching it to this larger, very fun idea. And it was like, oh, that's so good. And so then things like a little bit in the weeds on emoji linguistics or whatever, or details like that. It's like, it would be harder to try and get people to listen to those things otherwise. So,
yeah,
it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Jack, have you got anything else you'd like to add before we close off? Or have you, I'm sure you've got more questions. You've always got more questions. It's good.
No, you just have to shut me off, basically. But no, I just wanted to say, about time we heap praise on you. We had a lovely discussion about your emoji series. I mean, Freddie put forward the podcast and we all listened and had a big discussion on emojis generally, but, you know, essentially about your series. I spent a lot of time sounding very disconnected and going, I don't get them, I don't understand, why would you use them? But I think it was testament to your show. Every time a new episode drops, like I listen and I'm totally hooked on the story. And I think it's something you kind of hinted at there as well, is the fact that, like, there's a lot of emoji administration involved, where it's fascinating to dig into that. But I guess then there's also the fact that there is a lot of administration, and it could get to a point where it's like, okay, how far is too far? But I just felt like, in terms of holding my interest, it was such a, like a, it straddled that so well, where you're like, oh, I'm getting an idea of the like the complexity of this, but I'm not confused and, you know, drowning in red tape and rules, you know?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I definitely got from some, like, some people listening, it's just like, were you really confused? Just like, yeah, like, honestly, like, yeah. Even today, I still feel like it's one of those things where it's like, depending on the day, I feel like it is or isn't, it's more or less good. It's just like, I don't know how to feel at this point still. I think I've kind of settled on something, but it's still just such a complicated topic where, and with so many things where, you know, from an outsider's perspective, it's like, oh, well, clearly this is the problem and you can just fix that by doing this. It's like, well, no, there's so many more complexities once you get inside that once you know all of this stuff, it's almost like paralyzing with like, you just can't, there's no perfect solution, and knowing which one's the best one is so hard.
Of course.
So that's just been one of the things for producing it. And then, of course, there's the super embarrassing recordings of myself that I have in the series, but I just feel so mortified listening to those. And it's something where, like, they sound so exaggerated that, again, people like thought, like, were you are you just acting? And it's like, no, I literally thought I was going to throw up. Like, I felt terrible. That's me in an Airbnb where the host had like some really loud parakeets and I didn't sleep well. Aww. And the me feeling stressed out. It's like, well, I've got some time to kill, I'm rehearsing this thing, I might as well turn on the recorder, and just didn't really think about it, and just was legitimately trying my best to go through the thing, and it's just like, oh god, I'm really stumbling, I should just turn off the recorder. I just fought that impulse, and it's just like, okay, just keep going. You can edit this to make yourself sound good, and then later it's just like, you need to just let yourself sound like an idiot. Like, that's what that's what happened. And it's something where if it wasn't me, I think I would love listening to it, but yeah, as myself, it's just like, oh no.
Yeah, no, I know from editing this show, because I think the volume of stuff that I talk a lot. And so there are a few jokes that don't land that I sneakily just, I'm like, we'll let that one not make the edit. Or maybe we'll move Freddie's laugh here instead. And, you know, no, I don't do that, mate.
Copy a laugh and...
Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to these more carefully before I upload them now, aren't I?
That's amazing.
I always put my faith in Jack to edit, and I'm slowly but surely having that faith eroded. But but I mean, I guess, Mark, off the back of all of that, you've enacted a small change that's going to be around, you know, in everyone's pockets for a long time. And that must feel great, right?
Yeah, it's super exciting. It's something where, like, it still hasn't totally hit me, I feel like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just because it's still, you can use it on twitter.com, but still most people aren't going to see it unless they only use the Twitter website. And I can't send it on my phone or text it.
Right.
I think once it appears there, then it's, or I just start seeing them in friends' posts who maybe don't even know about the emoji series or whatever, start seeing them just randomly pop up, then that's going to be just so surreal. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, wow, I spent a year working on this thing, and there it is, like, just all over the place, which is just such a bizarre feeling. But I'm definitely, like, proud of how that turned out, and with the emoji series, then the last episode comes out on the 29th, and I think that's it's turned out in a way where I am extremely proud of it, where there was a long time in the middle where it's just like, I don't know if this is gonna be like, this is just like a lot of me talking to people about emojis, is anyone gonna be interested in this? But it finally has wound up in a thing where it's like, okay, I like this, I think people will hopefully enjoy it. So, yeah.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. And, you know, if you're listening right now and you'll have heard our episode by now of us recommending Welcome to Macintosh. And if we didn't persuade you enough, then Mark should have by now. So do check it out. Mark, thanks so much for being on Episode Party. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah, of course. I really enjoyed it and enjoyed y'all's recommendations as well. I definitely am going to listen to more of both of those shows. So.
Excellent. Oh, great. Jack, thanks as ever. I never usually thank welcome. You at the end of the podcast, but I feel like everyone's in such a good mood and everyone's so happy about all of our recommendations, and it just feels nice. So yeah, we'll wrap up the show. Mark, if people want to find you and Welcome to Macintosh online, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at MC Bramhill. And if you want to follow the show, the website is macintosh.fm.
Excellent. And we are at episode_party on Twitter if you want to tell us what you thought about any of the episodes we discussed today, or recommend us anything you think we might not have heard.
And episode.party as well on the internet.
Well done, Jack. Well done. Thank you very much. I've been Freddie Harrison.
I've been Jack Tutor.
And we'll see you again soon. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Hi, it's Jack again. Thank you so much for listening to Episode Party. If you've been enjoying the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. It would mean a lot. Thank you so much. Goodbye.